Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
One of our Fan Broncos insiders joining us courtesy of Tranny Law. Troy, what's your reaction to the news today? Yesterday about Arizona opening up, and now today we see Florida not only opening up for pro sports, but making a very aggressive pitch to have the pro sports come there. Do you think baseball will want to do that and just center themselves in Florida and in Arizona?
If that's the only option, DMAC, yes. I do know players would prefer to play in their home cities, if possible. That's, you know, somewhere where they live, where their families would be, to relocate the whole families. You know, a little. I'm not saying they couldn't do it, but their preference would be to play in home stadiums if they can do that. But it does create at least the possibility that you could run Major League Baseball through Florida and Arizona with the West Coast teams in Arizona and the East Coast teams in Florida. It at least creates possibilities that we didn't think would be open perhaps a week ago or 2 weeks ago. It's just, again, the players I've talked to, it's just trusting that they'll be safe. The money is part of this. That's something I think eventually they would get through. It's just, do they feel safe? Do they trust the protocols? And they're not there yet on that.
Yeah, Troy, I just feel like there's so many what-ifs when you're talking about bringing back any professional sporting league, and especially when you're talking about all the different states, all the different governors, all the different options. I mean, California is not going to let any teams back, right? I mean, there's going to be some major hiccups here that you're going to have to relocate teams that are in a state that cannot play. I don't know. It just feels like logistically, if you could execute a plan, if you could come up with a plan that you know you can execute it, wouldn't that just be the smart thing to do?
Yeah, it's just the timing of it then. But you're right, Tyler. I mean, this is why there's so much uncertainty, because from state to state is different. You know, it's, in some ways it's carving along political lines. In some ways, you know, some states feel reckless, others feel too conservative about it. And when you, like you said about Los Angeles, they're basically at stay at home now till August 1st. I mean, there's no way. I just don't see a realistic plan for USC, UCLA, and the LA Rams to play in the fall. That does not, at this point, seem realistic based on the behavior of their state in reaction to the coronavirus. So, you know, again, but if it gets down to it, Tyler, the question is, would you want a mangled, weird, odd season and over no season at all? Fans right. would say they would take any season. The players, though, you know, it's tough for them. It's like, but I do know, like in baseball has a chance to capitalize on something that they haven't had since probably the 80s, to be the prime sport in prime time if they can pull it off. Because, I mean, people are watching Korean baseball, myself included. If baseball is able to start the season, it will be the sporting event for, you know, a couple months. So, I do. That's part of it. It's just, like you said, it's just complicated because of the uncertainty.
How are the Dinos doing?
Dinos were going well until the other night, and their bullpen collapsed. It was like watching the Rockies.
I was watching the Twins earlier, and man, it was some. I love the cheerleaders on the top of the dugouts with the masks and the.
I just love how it's Samsung versus Kia. It's not the Lions versus whoever else. It's Samsung versus Kia.
Yeah, yeah. They're into their sponsorship. A little history lesson here. Help us out, Troy. We're watching the 2017 Viking season, and we are seeing Case Keenum play fantastic, right? Not the whole year, but as the year progresses, he got better and better and better. And we're seeing a power running game, and it is just clicking for the Vikings. So the point where we are in the season, they're 10-2, and they look fantastic. Why did the Broncos get rid of Case Keenum for Joe Flacco? Why?
Yeah, they soured on him in part because he didn't fit. And I'll be honest, he didn't fit great in the locker room. It wasn't the guys didn't like him, but they didn't gravitate toward him. He wasn't this leader that I think they thought they were getting, number one. I'll be honest. I thought he showed up a little out of shape after he got paid. I just think he, and I don't think he appreciated the challenge of being the Broncos quarterback. It's different than being the Minnesota quarterback because the Broncos have won Super Bowls. I don't know that he totally understood the expectations he walked into, but they just soured on how he played because they felt like he would be better at diagnosing stuff in real time, audibles, smart leader quarterback, and they didn't see that. He and Musgrave could not get on the same page. I do blame Musgrave because I thought the play calling did not suit his strength. We were calling for play action all year, what they did in Minnesota, and it was like they watched the Minnesota tape and said, nah, that's not great. Let's try this. And I'm like, the guy had the greatest career season of his life. Why are you going away from that? And so why it's they didn't feel like he was the guy at the line of scrimmage they thought they were buying. He didn't necessarily have the gravitas as a leader that they thought they were getting, and they didn't think he played particularly well. He got so conservative, he was so afraid to make a mistake that he couldn't make a play. But they
still,
do share blame in that because of the play call.
He was still so cheap, and Drew Lock was right there. Why not just keep him as your backup and draft Drew Lock? I mean, why was he really that bad behind the scenes that it would have been like that ugly of a situation to make a move like that?
They just, I mean, you're right. It's just they soured on him. It's like we took this. It's mainly because it's like buyer's remorse. Like if you bought this car you thought was going to go 150 miles per hour and everyone's going to love it and praise you, and instead it went 130 and no one really liked it and they thought it was okay. Your expectations are so jarring in contrast to what you get that you don't get away from them, step back and go, well, it's still a pretty decent car. And they could have gone forward with him, but they were so disappointed in how he failed to meet their expectations, they were ready to move on. I mean, it's just, it's wild. The easiest way to describe it. It's just they thought they were getting something that was taking them back to the playoffs, and instead they were basically the same team they were the year before. And he's a victim of the previous season. You know, he's not, again, it's what he walked into. It's multiple factors, D-Mac.
But there was stuff behind the scenes, though, huh? There was.
Well, it's just he wasn't a bad guy. He just didn't connect. And players have said this in quote sheets and in press conferences. Like, I don't know. I can't remember. One player specifically said, all last year, our quarterback never said hi to me in the hall, like
yikes.
Referring to Keenum. Like, there just wasn't this connection. It doesn't mean he was a bad guy. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying. I mean, Tyler lives it. It's just that he didn't connect in a way that some quarterbacks do, that he was just another guy in the room, and you're losing, and you thought he was going to be really good, and it's like, well, we got to get rid of this. We got to move on. And it's like, again, it's kind of the buyer's remorse.
What do guys say behind the scenes about Drew Lock? How does he connect to the guys? Especially the older guys.
They loved his confidence. Now, again, it's a cameo, so I always say, you know, understand we're talking about 5 games that he started. But part of the reason I was campaigning for Drew was because behind the scenes, I would ask guys, and they're like, Troy, he's doing stuff in practice we haven't seen around here ever. He's making throws. He's talking smack in practice. He's challenging guys on defense. Like, they were loved. Like why is this guy not playing? Like, that's what they were seeing. And also, while he was on injured reserve, Tyler, he was making it a point to eat with different guys during the week, get to know guys, show real humility, like, hey, I didn't have a great camp. I need to step back and understand this is the NFL. This is not Missouri where I'm going to throw 50 times or throw 3 picks. No one cares because I'm the best player on the team. He stepped back and had the self-awareness that I need to get to know guys and learn like what it means to be a pro. And guys really respected that. That's why I keep saying he has a chance to be successful because he understands what it means to be the quarterback and what it means to be kind of in that room and fill that space. And that's why I give him a real chance.
Great stuff, man. We really appreciate Troy, and very generous to do the piece with my son that's going to be on the air at 10 o'clock on Denver 7 tonight. Thank you for doing that. That was very, very nice. Dylan enjoyed it. So,
yes, senior spotlights. It continues tonight with one Dylan McKee from Smoky Hill High School.
Nice. So
it's hard doing these pieces in some ways because I can't imagine. You know,
how'd you ever find this guy? How'd you ever come up with this story?
Google.
Yeah. He was the name that popped up, huh?
He was the name that popped up, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's pretty cool. And how many of these are you doing, Troy? Like, how is this a series of features?
We've done probably 10. Like, Nick Rothschild's done 3 or 4, like Golden Soccer, Arapaho, Lacrosse. Lionel's done Rock Canyon. Lionel Benamdu did one on Rock Canyon baseball. Mm-hmm. I've done on with, you know, the kids from Mountain Vista. They wanted it to start with my own sons just because to let the audience know this is kind of what we were looking for. But there, and then we've done it again. I did it on Maddie Carr from DU, the gymnast. So we've probably done 10 of them from different high schools and colleges.
Well, we'll tell everybody to continue to watch Denver 7. And Troy, thank you very much.
You got it. It was great. Dylan was fantastic. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. That's Troy Rank, courtesy of Tranny Law.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.